Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We're back in Reedley, California at Gartatilian. Gartatilian is a longtime ag company here in the valley. Armenian family, the Tatilian family, originally started and founded this company.
In 1949. We're celebrating 70 years.
But we're here with one of the owners, Karen, who was actually born, Karen Musson now, who was actually born and raised right here in Reedley. You lived right here on this same farm where you're at, where the company is, and it continues to grow. You supply all sorts of important pieces that people probably don't realize that it takes to grow food, right? So there's obviously
we need water,
mm-hmm. but you also need different types of minerals and fertilizer and all that make the plants grow. So Karen, I know you're spread 100 miles from here in both directions where you deliver product out of here. But what do you do on an everyday basis here?
On an everyday basis, we deliver products to about 1,500 growers, maybe 500 of those on a daily basis. We serve everything from Chowchilla to the north end of Bakersfield, and we have 44 PCAs, pest control advisors in the field,
right.
And with trap checkers, regulatory compliance.
So we have listeners from all over the world. Many don't know that we're in the breadbasket of the universe, is mm-hmm. what we call it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about how complicated agriculture is, people just think, oh, it's just put something in the ground and it just grows. But you actually have people that go out, work with the farmers. They check to make sure that the pests are under control, that the plants are getting the right amount of water and energy that it takes to grow, right?
Correct. Well, farming or growing or ranching, whether it's animals or crops, is much like raising a family. So they need to be tended to every day. The health of the field is vitally important. So it's really important to address concerns early on before they get out of control. And I always like to say there's no rewind in farming or in ranching. So
yeah, because if you miss the growing season, if a plant dies, it's gone. Or a tree, especially. And if you look out right here, we can see the Sierra Nevada mountain range, the foothills here. And you look out and you can see plums and peaches and nectarines and grapes and citrus. These are all living things that need important ingredients that you not only supply the ingredients, but you also supply the professionalism and the experts to go in and make sure that these living plants stay alive.
Well, part of a family farmer's legacy is their field. So whether it's nutrition and keeping the field fit or whether it's keeping your family healthy and fit, it's really the same concern.
Yeah, one of the things we talk a lot about here on the podcast is we've talked a lot about the energy issues. We've talked in the past from here about the water issues that are so critical. But, farmers are stewards of the land, right? And you've started My Job Depends on Ag. You're one of the founders of it. It has, tens of thousands of members, of which I'm proud to be a supporter of it. You've helped promote here in the valley so that people understand, even if you don't work on a farm, if you're not out there working day to day on a farm, it's likely, very likely, that your job depends on ag, which is why you started this organization. And one of the frustrating parts, I think, that people need to understand, that places that are outside of this valley, people look at California and they see all these wild ideas coming. They see socialism coming from the valley. But these are small businesses, right? I mean, you're a small business. You work with other small businesses. You're giving people, jobs, from all over this valley. And then that replicates out. And I think one of the things that, we've been attacked all the time by what I call radical environmentalism. Because truthfully, the real environmentalists are the farmers. Like what you were kind of getting at is the farmers own this land. Your family's been here for almost 100 years, right? 70 some years. I mean, the last thing you want to do is ruin this land.
Well, again, the land is their legacy. The most important, most valuable asset they have besides their children is their land. They would never want to harm it. And I think that, consumers need to understand that they are always at the forefront of their mind. Healthy, happy families. Today, I wanted to mention, is the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And And while we're remembering veterans who served at that time, we need to remember the farmers that fueled that freedom as well. And I always love to do the analogy of veterans and active service members and farmers, because really without the two of those entities, we would not have the freedom we have today. People like to kind of toss out the thing, you know, about sayings, but it's absolutely true. A nation that can't feed itself is no more secure than a nation that can defend itself. And to begin to rely on food from other countries because we think it's too demeaning of us to produce quality fruit and vegetables, or maybe because we see that hard work is not worthy work, is really a misjustice to America's freedom.
Yeah, and I mean, it is so critical. Not only as, you know, national security really starts with food security, mm-hmm. right? Without water and food, you can't supply an army, right? An army with no logistics behind it is, you know, really an army that's going to fail, right?
Remember in Rome, they had stored all that grain for years and years. They were starving their people to get them to, you know, to submit. And certainly he who controls the food controls the people. So
right.
We've seen that throughout history. And, you know, it seems so distant to us, but we can, you know, that happens even today. We've seen in Venezuela, we see people standing in food lines. There's right. no reason for them to be standing in food lines.
Right. Venezuela is a place with plenty of water, plenty of land, a beautiful, you know,
right.
very productive place. They could probably grow most of their own food. If not, they could get it from nearby, just in Brazil.
But there's such a great disconnect. You know, even when I visit schools, whether they're in Fresno or Visalia, it doesn't make any difference. There's a big disconnect. While you might be, you know, 1 mile or 5 miles away from a farm, people have no idea what that product looks like when it's grown in the field. You know, we have people from all over the world that come and, you know, they don't realize what an olive looks like, right? Because
right.
They see it in the can or in the jar on the shelf, but the process that it has to go through or...
We were just messing around. Well, right before before you came on the set here, we were messing around with two of my youngest daughters that are here, and you know, we live right on the edge of town. We can see farmland from our front yard. You know, I was just joking around, asking them, you know, do you work on a farm? What do you like about a farm? And you know, even though their father and mother, you know, both grew up on farms, you know, just it's easy to be disconnected that easily because you know they've really never, you know, they go to school. They have, you know, ag programs at school that are very, very good. But as you said, that disconnect from when people just go into their grocery store and they don't understand what's behind that food that sits on those shelves.
Well, I think, you know, we tend to be overprotective, I'll say, as a general rule. I don't want to say how old I am, but, you know, when I was younger.
49th birthday last week,
49th birthday, yeah, right. But if somebody needed help, if a neighbor needed help, everybody got out into that field, okay, and they picked those plums. I even picked cotton once, which is a miserable job. But today, your children can't do that. We don't allow them to go into the field like that. There's too many rules and restrictions.
Right.
Whether it's one of the...
So let me just... So the audience understands what you're talking about there, Karen, is that... That the rules and restrictions on these small businesses, on these, you know, whether you're a tiny farm or a mid-sized farm or a large farm, we have all these kids around here,
yeah.
including my own.
Mm-hmm.
Then nowadays, if a local farmer here just down the road wanted to hire my children, he would never do that in a million years because of the rules and regulations that have been placed by the California legislature. These kids can't even go work in the farms anymore.
Right. One of my mother's best friend, they had a friend that had had a little tiny plot in town, and she decided she's going to plant strawberries. And so, but the strawberries kind of all ripen at once, of course, and she couldn't find anybody to help her. And so my mom and her best friend, they packed up all of us kids in a car, and we went down there and we picked strawberries in the heat of the day. And it's like the most miserable job in the world, but somebody has to pick those strawberries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what we would do. No, nobody thought anything of it. We didn't even think about, you know, how hot it was. Mm-hmm. The strawberries had to be picked. So that's what you did. You helped one another out in the neighborhood. Everybody knew their neighbors. Today, you know, even in developments, you know, if you ask people about their neighbor, they don't even know who the person across the street is or what they do. So there's that big disconnect, whether it's because of the advent of social media and and you know, news 24/7, or if it's just because we've gotten complacent in extending that hand of welcome to a pure stranger.
And you bring up one of my favorite topics that we talk a lot about on this podcast, and that is the with social media now, and with these tech companies largely being based out of California, who are for the most part anti-agriculture, right? I mean, they're pro all of these extreme positions. And they continue to, you know, if you look up, if I guarantee you, if somebody gets on Google right now and they Google, you know, agriculture, it's going to, the stories that will come up will be awful. It'll be something about farmers wasting water, farmers, you know, ruining the soil, farmers ruining the environment. And it's part of the frustration. One of the reasons I have this podcast is so that, you know, I can try to reach out through social media and other venues so people can hear from normal people that grow up here and, you know, are actually providing jobs. Like, you're providing your company just directly. How many employees do you have on a coming on an everyday basis? Just Gartutillion.
So we have about 150 employees presently. So and whether we have drivers, pest control advisors, agronomists, we have people in dispatch and our warehousing. So we're on the road every day. We have about 55 vehicles, and they're on the road every day delivering. We have another 45 or so PCAs that are out in the field checking. Alongside of each one of those is an assistant, a trap checker, that's also in the field.
Trap checker is somebody who checks for bugs.
And disease in the field, yes, of course.
And that's and so, you know, I think it's important just to kind of bring our listeners back to understand this is how, you know, it only takes a few days before an entire crop can be wiped out from pests or from disease or from hail or rain or what have you. And one of the things that the reason we call this the breadbasket of solar system is, you know, we get such great weather here. People know California, but they don't realize that big bowl that's in the middle of California that most liberals and socialists say is just flyover country, mm-hmm. is in fact the most productive farmland in the solar system. And the weather that we have here, Mediterranean climate, you know, we don't get very, it's not very often in the summertime that we get rain or hail. So this is why the fruit here comes out so perfectly.
You know, we used to have about a five to six month growing season. Today that growing season is really 12 months.
There's new varieties of crops that grow here. Yep.
Innovation, new varieties.
Shorter growing season.
And earlier varieties and later varieties. You're correct. A much more diverse, you might say, catalog of things that we could offer. You know, we partner with a group called the Specialty Crop Council, and they bring out every year, and they'll be visiting us again in August. They bring out Washington, D.C., and state regulators. And so if they're new to their position, whether it's in the USDA or DPR or any of those agencies, they're offered a visit to come to the Valley. And they spend quite a bit of time in Visalia and Hanford, by the way. And one of
just
the things,
south of us, about 20,
just
30
south
miles
of us.
South of us.
But one of the interesting things is when you travel with them, you know, we'll take them to a field, and they don't understand that you can't walk into a field that's being picked without protective clothing. And yet they're the entity that wrote the regulation, right? Mm-hmm. And you take them into a packing house, and you'll show them that this packing house on this side of the avenue is for organic, and this side of the avenue is for conventional. And they'll spend 20 minutes questioning you why you'd have two different packing lines, right? And why you can't cross from one to the other, right? But yet these are the rules that they've written because they feel that they're necessary, right?
It's a very difficult business. So in kind of closing here, Karen, I want to bring us back to kind of what we started, that you started with My Job Depends on Ag. You're one of the founders of it. It's kind of an organic organization that just kind of rose up. And there's other organizations that you've been involved with, you and your family, trying to promote sustainable agriculture and, you know, all of the issues that are so that are really a struggle for people in this area to deal with, from water to the regulations you were just talking about. Where do you think we are right now? Because I know it's so frustrating. I mean, I feel, you know, you see it every day. People are so frustrated by the, here we have one of the wettest years on record, and yet, you know, water's flowing out to the ocean, just being wasted. And I think that's one of the things people don't understand is there's plenty of water in the state. And I know it has to be just so frustrating for you who, I mean, you've been a warrior, you've been a fighter, you know, with your family. I mean, I congratulate you because you've been on the front lines and you're willing to, you know, step out there and, you know, take the heat. Do you feel like we're winning, or do you think we're...
So to be a farmer, you have to like change. Okay. And you have to be an optimist, because of all the good years, you have more bad years than good years. I think you have to be a real optimist. I'm always optimistic. I'm excited about the next generation. I do think, though, we oftentimes have misplaced values. And so we have lots of brilliant people that, sit in ivory towers or sit in their office, and they think that this might be good or that might be good, but they don't understand the nuance of the job. And I think that we need to certainly give appreciation and respect, whether it's a farm worker in the field or a farmer operating a farm, for the work that they do. There's nothing more valuable than them feeding and fueling our freedom. And until we get back to the basics, nothing else matters. At the end of the day, all that matters is our family. And you have two beautiful daughters.
Two here today.
Well,
one at home.
And one at home. Well, three. You know, that's the richest thing a farmer could have, would be that family. And all he is hoping to do is to be able to provide for the next generation. I do think that, I talk to a lot of growers who are considering retiring because their children and their grandchildren are really not interested in farming. It takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of hard work. And there's, a lot of stress in a family when you're working in any family business, not just farming. But they are concerned. So what we're seeing, though, is an advent of larger farms rather than small family farms, just because of the economics of it. Families are bigger; they're multi-generational. I'm very optimistic. I would hope that California would realize the lunacy, you might say, in dumping warm water into the ocean and raising, the ocean to destroy our ocean while we're trying to save salmon that are in streams. Farmers do not waste one drop of water. Right. They are the most conscientious, environmentally sustainable, responsible people in the world.
So for all of our listeners out there, just so you know, there's plenty of water in California. It's just the government. Most of the infrastructure is actually in place. I mean, we could use some new water projects, but for the most part, the infrastructure
is if California is going to grow, they will always need more water projects. If California is going to grow, they need to maintain their roads. If California is going to grow, again, it's about the basics. Everything else will follow the basics. So without the right infrastructure in place, California is, I like to say, running on empty.
And if you want to grow crops here in the San Joaquin Valley,
call Gartutillion for the best water nutrition, regulatory, and crop care advice.
Very well done, Karen. Thank you so much for coming on the Devin Nunes podcast.
It's been fun.
Until next week, we'll catch you next Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong.
not afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.